It's coming up to 10:15 now. In the bookshops in Cornwall now, and a good read, I'd say, for any rainy day, is a true story of remarkable courage. It's called Helga, and it's written by a Swiss woman who, as a young girl living in the east of Germany, witnessed the sinister rise of Nazism. Her Jewish school friends disappeared, while others were caught up in the fervour of the Hitler Youth Movement. Later, she fled alone from the Russian army, and for 50 years she's lived with the most horrific memories of her time as a refugee. Only now has her family persuaded her to write the story in the hope that this would help her to come to terms with it. Helga Gerhardy's autobiography is compelling stuff, I promise you. So, when I had the opportunity to talk to her, I asked first about the day she actually met Hitler.
Everybody at the age of 10 had to join the Hitler Youth, but I didn't. So, of course, on that day, I had a free day because we had no school. I had to go to my piano lesson, and I didn't want to skip that. So off I went. I met a woman who was selling some little violets, and I thought, oh good, I'll buy these, because my father used to be away during the way and only come home for weekends. And this was the weekend he was going to come home. So I bought these flowers and went to my piano lesson. And when I came out, of course, there were crowds of people lining the road and the Hitler Youth in the front. But I had to cross the road because there were no trams, because everything stood still because Hitler was coming to the town. So I squeezed through the people and they kept on saying, you can't get across, you can't get across. Well, the road was empty and nobody was coming, and I thought, I'm a good runner, let's get across. So I shot in the road, and I'm afraid at that particular moment Hitler came round the corner in his and the whole cavalcade of SS and SR and so on. And because I was so frightened, I just stopped. And of course I had the flowers in my hand, and I think they assumed that I had run into the road to give Hitler the flowers. So one of the SS men jumped off the car, and he came towards me and he said, you can give the Führer those flowers. Oh, I said, well, they're really for my father. Well, he just looked at me, because I mean I couldn't go back now, he'd already had my hand and pulled me along. And I'm afraid when we got to the car I was so scared my hand just went up, and Hitler took the flowers. Then he looked at me and he said, you're not in uniform. So I said, no, I'm not German, I'm Swiss. But I don't know whether he heard me, because people were shouting Heil Hitler and screaming, and no, I think, I don't think he realized what it was. And the SS man just took my hand again and said, oh, well, that's all right, you can go to the other side of the road now. So I ran home. And I'm afraid my parents were rather cross, because they said, look, if that gets into the paper, and maybe with a photograph, you're Swiss, that's not very nice. But I was lucky it wasn't in the paper, except that some of my school friends had heard about it, or maybe somebody had seen us, and of course they were all very jealous. Because, you see, everybody did adore Hitler in those days, they really did. And they thought I was just lucky that I had been able to give Hitler those flowers.
The book also describes the frightening searches carried out in Helga's home by the SS. Because her family was from Switzerland, a neutral country, but they were living in Germany, it seems the Nazis were suspicious. Helga became a medical student after university, treating some of the thousands of wounded soldiers returning in cattle trucks from the Russian battlefields. Then, in the winter of 1944, the Russians broke through the German lines.
Yes, that was the bad time. That was the part which I found very difficult to write. You see, in the West, I don't think any German left their home when the Allied forces came near, because they knew they would get good treatment. But in the East, we knew that the Russians wouldn't treat us well. Not only that, I was at that time working at a hospital, and some of the wounded soldiers told us what the Russians were like, because they had reconquered parts which were taken by the Russian. So when they got nearer to the town, to Königsberg, where I lived, I just decided I would have to leave, and at that particular moment my whole family was scattered and I started off alone. It was just a matter of getting dressed as warmly as possible, because we had 10 to 15 degrees below zero. The hunger wasn't too bad. You get used to it. It's surprising, your stomach doesn't hurt after a time. But the cold, no, the cold is terrible. You never get used to it. And the Russians used to shoot at us. They knew we were a refugee track, but anything that moved, they just shot. And of course, we had one part, we had to cross a frozen lake, and that was very bad, because we had carts with horses, and when the Russians were shooting at us and the ice broke, they just disappeared. And that was something which I didn't want to remember. No, that was bad. And because it was so cold, people couldn't walk anymore. They just fell by the wayside, and they were laying there. They were dead and frozen and stiff, and you just walk, because I didn't want to die. Oh no, I wanted to live. And as long as I could move, I just moved.
She moved 350 miles in all, narrowly escaping death on several occasions. Nothing new in that, though. The book also includes the air raid by the British on her adopted hometown. As she says, the Germans bombed British towns, the British showered bombs on us. That was war.
I'm afraid we had a whole load which absolutely seemed to come into our area, and I was in an official aerial shelter which was specially built from concrete. But although it wasn't destroyed, all the doors were, we couldn't open them, and also we didn't get any oxygen anymore. And it was only very fortunate that the first door they opened happened to be the one where I was nearest, and that's why I got out. But I'm afraid all the people in the back, they didn't. And I knew a lot of them, because they were all from our neighborhood, and we just had a mass grave for them.
The end of the war is not the end of the story. Helga travelled south through Germany on a battered bicycle, searching she was for her scattered family. Incredibly, she found them all, as you'll read in the book. So, a neutral growing up with Germans and ending up marrying an Englishman. Did it give her, I wondered, any particular philosophy on the war?
Yes, I think it did. I also can say that there were a lot of Germans that didn't want to fight England. Now, and it's true what a lot of German people say, that I didn't know anything about concentration camps. I didn't either. I didn't know about it because we didn't live near one. And I think it probably gave me a different outlook, because we've just had the D-Day celebration. And you see, I met a lot of English people who had no idea what it was like in the East, because what we civilians suffered under the Russians, it could never be told. The reason for this was, I mean, the Russians were the Allies, and you had to keep it quiet, didn't you? But now it's all coming out gradually.
That's Helga Gahardi, whose book, it's a softcover book called Helga, is published by Verona Publications, priced $6.95.